Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains August 15th through the 18th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Mylowe's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken in time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
I mean, now you've done a fantastic segue. They've got to continue on there. You know that, right? You got to force another one.
I don't think we've got that in us, to be honest. I don't think we've got the facilities for that.
I don't think Lando Norris has got the facilities to be a Formula One world champion. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to episode 232 of your favourite Formula One show. Yes, Jamie and I are back to discuss the Miami Grand Prix. Jamie, first of all, how are we doing, sir?
I'm doing well, yes. It's a bank holiday morning as we record this, so yeah. Not in work. It's always good. So yeah, and it was an all right weekend of Formula One, wasn't it? I was pleasantly surprised that it wasn't an absolute stinker, but it wasn't much better. But the sprint was good, so we'll chat about it. And there we go.
Exactly, we will. We certainly will. Like Jamie said, obviously it's Bank Holiday Monday. I'm still at work, because that's just, you know, the way these things work.
There's no such thing as a bank holiday when you're self-employed.
Exactly. It's always weird when people do say about bank holidays, because where both my parents are retired as well, like, they just don't kind of matter in our house. We just never think about them.
No.
They're just kind of another day. But anyway, Miami though, Jamie, we kickstart with some bad news, don't we? It's been confirmed until 2041. When I saw this, when I got tagged in this, I was like, oh my lord, what have they done?
Yeah, and to be honest, we've been saying since Vegas was announced, what, 2.5 years ago now? Probably maybe 3 years ago.
I think after the first Vegas race,
Yeah, we were like, well, they're not going to renew Miami, are they? Because we've already got our good American race in COTA, and we've got our show-off American race in Vegas. So what's the point of having a third middle child? And the one thing I was holding on to was that Miami only had a contract till 2031. And we were getting through it. We were almost halfway through from when it started. But sadly, it's here to stay.
You know full well now they're going to ditch COTA, don't you? The one legitimate race circuit in the US. No, when they want to do another street circuit somewhere, if they got New York, they're going to ditch off COTA.
They won't get New York. There's
they
no
might still, with how much the sport's grown.
If they did get New York, there's no way it's on Manhattan. Not a chance.
No, but
it'll be in the Bronx or somewhere stupid.
Fair enough. But you're 2041. I mean, the fact that we're both going to be in our 40s. Think what episode the podcast is going to be on by then. We're probably going to be on about episode 1100? 1200?
Well, it's 17 years away, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, your math is terrible, 16
years away. So about what?
We average about we average about 60 a year, sensibly, I reckon. So about 1,000 from now. Episode 1,200 of the show.
If we're still going by then, I will be amazed.
That'll be quite impressive. I'll be completely grey. Jamie will be bald. It's going to be fantastic.
My dad's still got hair. Thank you.
Yeah, but you've got a receding hairline, haven't you, sir?
I do not.
Oh, he's...
I've not even, who's the one with the hat on right now?
Yeah, it's just because I've got bedhead, because I've got so much hair, it gets all over the place.
Well, there we go. We'll find out in episode 1,200, won't we?
Yeah, we will. We'll be there, and hopefully you guys will be there as well. I'm sure we'll still be asking to make sure you get yourself subscribed so we hit 1K subs on the channel.
Alonso will still be on the grid.
Stroll will still be terrible. It's going to be fantastic. We've got one other little bit of news, haven't we? Of course, Max Verstappen, congratulations, he now owns a small human.
He does. Him and Kelly Piquet, almost blanked my name for a second there, had a
Nelson.
A child. No, not Nelson. Lily Verstappen. I assume it's Verstappen Piquet or something like that. I don't know, they've not put a surname on, but whatever, Lily, the child of Max Verstappen. So when Miami is in its final race of this this contract, Lily Verstappen might be on the grid setting records. You never know.
At 16, could happen. It could genuinely could happen, done. Which would be quite staggering. I mean, it's just so worrying to think about, isn't it? Like genuinely, Kimi Antonelli might be getting close to the end of his career by then.
Yeah.
It's just insane. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely insane. Speaking of Kimi Antonelli, though, Jamie, let's dive straight into qualifying. Of course, Max Verstappen, clearly with his new dad brain. How on earth did he not get a penalty in Sprint Q1? Because by my count, at the end of that session, he blocked four separate cars.
Yeah. The one obvious one was right at the end, wasn't it? When Stroll was finishing his lap in SQ1, and Verstappen just parked it on the racing line down to turn 15. The third last corner, the hairpin. And David Croft on the Sky Sports said, there's Verstappen getting nicely out of the way, which I don't know if he was watching, but Verstappen didn't get out of the way at all.
No.
And I texted a Mercedes fan, Hamilton Verstappen hater, friend of mine.
Not me. Said,
it wasn't you, it was different, another one. And I said, if they were swapped around, if it was Stroll on the racing line blocking Verstappen, Stonewall, that's a penalty.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know what or why the stewards didn't have a look at that, but I don't really care.
No.
Because it only blocked Stroll.
He did only block Stroll. Anyway. We weren't too worried about that. And he ended up working all right for Stroll by the end of Saturday. He also managed to block Yuki from getting onto his final run. Well, it was more of a miscommunication there rather than a block.
Yeah.
But completely screwed
and
Sonoda.
Three other drivers? I don't think Doohan or Bortoletto got their laps in either, did they?
Doohan got a bit screwed over because of his own team as well. Bortoletto didn't manage to get a run in, and he'd already blocked Lando Norris as well earlier on in the session. So it was...
That was probably just him driving at normal pace, to be honest, on a flying lap.
Probably. Max is not particularly quick anymore. But yeah, anyway, it'd be Stroll, Doohan, Sonoda, Bortoletto, and Ollie Bearman out in Q1. No idea what's happened to Bearman's qualifying pace recently, but it feels like he ends up at the back of the grid and just appears in the points by the end of the weekend.
He's either 20th or like
8th.
12th, isn't he? There's no in between.
No, exactly. At Q2, though, Carlos Sainz would have a huge lockup, which would ruin his session. So Nico Hülkenberg, who somehow made it into Q2, would end up down in P11, ahead of Ocon, Gasly, Lawson, and yeah, obviously the aforementioned Carlos Sainz. And as we got into Sprint Q3, Kimi Antonelli, 31 years and a day after Ayrton left us.
31?
He's back.
Oh, sorry. I was like, he's not 31.
No,
what
he's not.
No, Antonelli, yeah. Phenomenal pole position lap.
He'd driven the track for
amazed.
An hour ever in his life.
Yeah. Yeah, crazy. And the fact that he went first out of that final flurry, just after Verstappen and Russell had done their like early runs, didn't he? So he beat Verstappen by 2.5 tenths, and then both McLarens come, and I'm like, well, we can get our hopes up, but both McLarens will beat him, because they really should. And neither did. And Piastri was 0.5 tenths off, Norris was a full tenth off, and that was that. And I wonder if Verstappen and Russell would have got closer following a traditional run plan, but it doesn't really matter, because Antonelli did the job and got a fake pole position. I don't like sprints.
No.
For this. We should just change sprint quali for... Because the fact that Kevin Magnussen lost his only ever pole position for a Grand Prix by having a stupid sprint race that decides the grid back in 22. And then all of the stats now are like the youngest pole position sitter in any format.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Like, well, it's not
so
format,
annoying,
is it?
Isn't it?
It just ruins the stats and records. And also Hamilton having a win at Ferrari, which just doesn't count.
No, exactly.
So,
and it does take away from... It felt like, because obviously they were going, he's the young, 2.5 years younger than anybody else in any qualifying format. And you kind of go, well, that kind of just takes away from what makes it special in the first place, doesn't it? I mean, it was a fantastic lap to go quicker than both Piastri and Norris. Like you said, I think Verstappen and Russell, had they gone on a normal run plan, rather than trying to get two laps out of it, could have been right there as well. But ultimately, both got a little bit screwed over. Ferrari just seemed to be nowhere this weekend in P6 and P7, with Albon, Hadjar and Alonso rounding out your top 10 ready for the sprint race. And by sprint race Saturday, though, Jamie, it had rained. Miami storms had rolled in.
Yes, and Florida weather is no joke when it wants to rain. So, yes, pretty ridiculous. And to be honest, a bit of wet weather is probably what we need for a racetrack like Miami.
Oh, absolutely.
To be honest. So, but the problem with Florida is it's a bit like what we had in Malaysia back in the day, because it's so humid and hot that when it rains, it rains.
But they're on very similar latitudes, aren't they, or longitudes, I should say.
Yeah. It's very similar climates, to be honest, having been to one of the two places. Not Malaysia, never been there.
thanks for making that clear.
The clarify. And as soon as it rains as much as you expect it to, with like thunderstorms and everything, you're just like, well, we're not getting racing until it stops, are we?
No, exactly.
Was it Saturday or Sunday that the W Series, sorry,
Sunday,
the F1 Academy race
Sunday
was,
got the race got abandoned. Was binned off. Which is a shame, because the race on Saturday was actually fairly good from what I saw of it. They just need to give those cars DRS, just try and make them a little bit better, the racing. But yeah, very, very good. And I mean, immediately, to be fair, watching it back, we can throw the blame on Leclerc, because of course he binned it trying to do his reconnaissance lap. Why on earth Ferrari put him out on a set of intermediates? Like, he had no way of saving that car. You just see it lift above the water and just go straight on down the back. Even though it's not even a straight, is it? Kind of around the back half of the lap.
Especially not in the wet when you're in inters. No. It's definitely not a straight.
No, exactly.
Yeah, you feel for Leclerc, but it was quite funny.
Leclerc just gets a couple of those every year.
When Joe Guanyu did that in Zandvoort 2023, you called it a skill issue. So
did he do that in the formation?
There you go. No, in the race.
Oh, well, very different then, isn't conditions. It?
Is it?
Yeah, completely different. Completely different.
It's probably more embarrassing for Leclerc, if anything, doing it on
low pressure. No, because Leclerc had been put out on intermediates. Lap. Joe should have told the team what tyres he wanted at the right time. And shouldn't. And that was on an actual straight, rather than this, which isn't a straight.
It was,
so
yes.
Don't try and bring Joe back into this.
I'll bring him back into Cadillac, if you're not careful, next season.
Could happen.
Also, we didn't mention Mexico got extended, which is a shame.
We did last week. We brought it up in the last week's show. Don't worry, we had that one all caught up on. But anyway, yeah, obviously with Leclerc binning it, the race was delayed. We then got a couple of laps under the safety car, didn't we, before the race was officially started. And immediately, Kimi Antonelli's hopes and dreams ruined by turn one.
Yes, Oscar Piastri just deployed some 2025 style Turn 1 driving.
Yep.
And just sent it and got the apex, and that was that. And Antonelli was like, well, you can't do that. And the team were like, ah, sorry, he can.
He has, unfortunately, buddy.
Max Verstappen has destroyed the integrity of racing in the sport. Yep. So Oscar Piastri was well within his rights to do that.
Yep. I mean, to be fair, like this one, Antonelli kind of saw what he was doing and tried to overcommit himself, like Max did last weekend in Jeddah. So it was kind of like, if Antonelli had just backed out, he probably could have carried on in P2. And, you know, like the team said to him, there's a little bit of, you know, you live and you learn. He is only 18. He's got a lot of time to learn as well. But it was a shame to immediately kind of see him out of kind of that race-leading contention. Because, let's be fair, carry on.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, sensibly, it kind of, you know, he wasn't going to be able to fight those McLarens and probably Verstappen anyway, but it was a shame to just immediately see him behind them.
Yeah, exactly. It reminded me a lot of when you had the restart in Nürburgring, when Winkelhock was on pole.
Oh, yeah.
With, like, two Ferraris and Alonso right behind him in 2007.
Yeah.
And, like, you just knew that it wasn't going to last, but it was quite, like, yeah, very, very short-lived.
It's just a shame when it disappears so quickly.
Yeah, exactly. But he will live and learn from that, because next time he'll probably just cover the inside like anyone would in 2025.
He didn't get a chance to,
the inside line
to be
is
fair.
Overpowered.
Oscar did get a better start. He should have just backed out and tucked in, which is exactly what Max should have done in Jeddah, but there we are. We did get some good battles, though. Of course, sprint races, I think this is the second we've ever had with changeable conditions, if I remember correctly, after Austria 23.
Name the other one?
Because that was
Spa not changed for 1 year.
Oh, Spa went from full wets to inters, didn't it, I think, or inters to dries as well. But this was the first kind of one where the crossover went the other way, which is always far more exciting, because crossovers from wet to dry in Formula 1 now don't work, because you just can't move off the racing line.
Yeah, but that makes it quite fun, because if someone nails a strategy in, like, an Alpine, they can just hold off cars because they can't get past, which it gives you unpredictability, which I quite like.
It does, but nowhere near as much unpredictability as the other way around, which is the big one, isn't it?
No.
Which is normally where things are far more exciting. But yeah, we would see, I think it was Yuki was the first one to make a pit stop, wasn't it, on lap 12.
He was.
Hamilton then immediately with Stroll and Sainz would dive in on the next lap. So undercuts were starting to come out and immediately, like, you know, undercuts were possible. So Verstappen, by the end of lap 13, was going to try and pit to obviously cover off Lewis Hamilton. And then Kimi Antonelli's race got even worse.
I felt so bad.
This obviously wasn't Verstappen's fault because he's just got to follow the light procedure. But how on earth Red Bull let him out straight into Kimi's side pod, I will never know.
Yeah, it's one of those where the system's kind of automated, isn't it? And the thing that made it a crash was because the Mercedes was the next pit garage. Because if Antonelli's just going along down the pit lane there, Verstappen's probably okay. But the fact that Antonelli's slowing down to pull into the pit garage, then yeah, it's a massively...
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.
Safe release.
Yeah.
And it's not the first time Red Bull have done one of these this season.
No.
So.
No. Well, you think with Bahrain as well, with the pit lane light basically failing on them. Like, it's just all not looking great.
Just bring back a lollipop man.
Exactly. It's what I said at the time. What was wrong with a lollipop man? It was fantastic.
Exactly. And I felt bad for Verstappen as well because he had got this more right than the McLarens had. I think the lap before was probably the perfect lap.
Yeah.
But Verstappen was in the pits for dries. Both McLarens went on, which means obviously one of them's going to have to queue behind the other one. Verstappen could have won this race and instead didn't get any points in the end because he got a 10-second penalty and the race would finish under the safety car, which dropped him from, what, third or fourth?
Fourth.
Or was it lower than that? Fourth. It was fourth, wasn't it? Down to...
Because you say he was going to win. Hamilton got the jump on him anyway, so it could have been Hamilton's time to win.
Yeah. Yeah.
Imagine if Hamilton just kept winning sprint
races.
Hamilton
only got the jump because Max had no front wing.
You got him on the outlap. So it wasn't that Max had lost already loads of seconds because of it. Obviously, he'd been held up a little bit by him to stop and start and all this, that and the other. But Hamilton had a huge advantage over him anyway because he got the tyres up to temperature. But like you said, the race would end up finishing under safety car because, first of all, Sainz would absolutely rip the rear end of the Williams off by trying to cut the chicane too tight through the back end of Sector 2, which I've never quite understood why that wall sticks out as much as it does anyway, because it just asks for this kind of incident.
Well, it's just to test driver skill, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I just think
it's a bit annoying. If you turn in too early, you crash.
Yeah, I guess. But then, it would all go to hell, wouldn't it? Because Norris would get... After Oscar Piastri pit, and Norris was meant to basically get screwed over, Norris obviously boxed the end of the next lap at basically the same time as Alonso and Lawson had another crash. And that would basically mean for the second year in a row, Lando was handed victory in Miami thanks to a perfectly timed safety car.
exactly that. And Norris would have probably come out level-ish with Hamilton.
He was going to be close.
For second.
It would have all depended on trying to get tyre warm up. Exactly.
Yeah. So Piastri was going to win that race. Hamilton did a good job having no pace at all on inters. And then his dry pace actually really good. So fair play. He's just a sprint race merchant.
Apparently so.
This year, apparently. And my favourite part of the sprint race was Kimi Antonelli's team radio Toto Wolff. Well, what was it? Mini race not relevant
was the
4 words from Toto Wolff, which sums up sprint racing quite a lot.
Well, it sums up the team's kind of thoughts and feelings on it still, isn't it? And I mean, it,
well, exactly,
it
yeah.
is just kind of, I know we've talked about it still. If they gave us the option tomorrow, I'd still vote Binham off.
If you're there at the track, it's better. But for the integrity of the sport, I don't like them very much.
No, exactly.
But again, does the sport have much integrity at this point? It don't really matter, does it?
Okay. That was quite a sad tone to move on to. But anyway, like we said, thoughts and feelings on the Alonso Lawson crash? All the time you have to leave other space? Every driver, get out of my way. I'm Liam Lawson.
Liam Lawson didn't have... It feels like he's not done that great at all this season, does it? Since, obviously,
he's just been absolutely just harpooned, hasn't he?
Yeah, and I... Yeah. It was one of those where Lawson was never alongside enough. So once he's off the track, he probably should back out of that. He just kept his foot in to make a point. And instead of getting a point, he got a 5-second penalty. So, yeah, I do think blame's probably on Lawson for that. If you remember, this is going to be niche, Spa... Well, no, that's going to be even more of this one. Valencia 2012, when Maldonado took out Hamilton.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, Maldonado was never alongside or ahead enough
no.
to warrant space. Hamilton takes the racing line. Maldonado's off the track and just drives back onto it to make a point.
Yeah.
Like, you should have left me space.
Yeah.
But it's just stubbornness and screws himself over more than the other driver. Well, as much as the other driver. Shame for Alonso, because he was on for his first points of the year, and it's now a quarter of the way into the season, and he's still pointless.
Yep. Still right at the bottom of the order, isn't he? Which is very, very disappointing.
Along with all the rookies.
Yeah, exactly. But obviously, I mean, it was penalties galore, wasn't it? Max got a 10-second penalty. Ollie Bearman got a 5-second penalty for also having an unsafe release. Albon got a 5-second penalty for a safety car infringement. I believe he was too slow under the Delta at some point.
He was driving too slowly.
Yeah. And then Lawson also got a 5-second penalty, like we said. So despite the fact he looked nothing like it on the road, it would be Norris who took the win ahead of Piastri, Hamilton in third ahead of Russell. Stroll just again, like he did in Australia, appears, because he gets lucky with the strategy. Yeah. Tsunoda, good recovery drive by him.
Some credit. He did all right.
He did.
Stroll did all right to get fifth.
Antonelli and then obviously Pierre Gasly somehow getting a point in the Alpine, despite the fact I don't think I ever saw him. During that sprint race,
I think
he
finished about 13th on the road. To be honest,
I think he gained from every single one of those infringements.
Yeah.
So I think he was 12th on the road under a safety car and somehow scored points, which is quite impressive. Moving on though into real qualifying, I'd argue kind of there were less surprises early on in the session. Hulk, Alonso, Gasly, Stroll, Bearman out in Q1. Aston Martin are just dog water. Did I qualify Gasly though for the first time, which is worth noting. Bortoletto. That's not the first time for Bortoletto, though.
It's not the first time, only the second time. I'm keeping count, don't
exactly.
worry.
Hadjart, Hamilton, Bortoletto, Doohan, Lawson out in Q2. Hamilton just could not get a lap together, because again, for some reason, Ferrari were just woeful this weekend. But there was a little bit of a surprise in Q3, because again, like we've seen a couple of times before, Verstappen absolutely nailed it. I do, however, think McLaren completely steered the cars to race pace. Like,
well,
I think they should have got pole, but they definitely had set the car up far more for race pace than Red Bull or Mercedes had done.
Yeah, I think they're quite fortunate that this track you actually can overtake on, because
but that allows you to do that more then. You know, that would have been thought about.
It does, yeah. But really, in that car, the pace they showed on Sunday, there's no excuse for not getting pole position in it, I don't think.
No, exactly.
And think back to 2011. There's one race all year when Red Bull didn't get a pole in
2010,
that car.
Wasn't
2023.
It?
2023. There's... 2010, there are a few more races. Where
right at the end, wasn't it? Yeah, sorry.
Four or five. Because Hülkenberg got a pole on the Williams.
He did
so,
in the year in the end.
But yeah, you think 2023 Red Bull, didn't they lose like... I guess by the end there are a few more, weren't there?
Yeah,
but,
exactly. Like Leclerc would string a lap together.
Is.
Well, Leclerc got
Mercedes
one early
era.
On in 23, remember, in Baku.
Oh, he did, yeah. I guess. And even the Mercedes era, like 14, 15, 16, there were not many races without a Mercedes on pole in that 3-year period.
No.
I can think of like two off the top of my head.
Austria 14.
Austria 14, Singapore 15 is the only one I'm thinking of.
Monaco 16.
16.
Yeah, there were a few because Seb took a couple
but
of
even
poles.
So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but I mean, it's one of those things, isn't it? Because, again, you kind of compare this era to that era. Yes, McLaren absolutely had the race pace, but the overall kind of raw pace difference between a lot of those cars, you know, the gaps are smaller still. And, you know, like we said, McLaren probably should have got the cars on pole. They weren't a million miles away from pole and did absolutely dominate the Grand Prix. Spoiler alert. But it would be Max ahead of Lando, Antonelli ahead of Oscar, Russell, Sainz, Albon, Leclerc, Ocon and Yuki Tsunoda are rounding out the top 10. And then we got easily the highlight of the weekend, didn't we, Jamie? Because that Lego F1 race was brilliant.
Honestly, the amount of like reaction images that have come out from that Lego race where like Russell's just weaving on people for no reason. Verstappen was the only driver to do the chicane properly because, you know, every single bit of data he can get will help him. it was just, I enjoyed Yuki Tsunoda saying to Max that pretend I'm your daughter.
Yep.
When he got in the back of the car.
Yep. Brilliant. I mean, it's even the fact that Lewis and Fernando both look like they're having the time of their lives. I mean, Bernie Ecclestone will be sat at home absolutely fuming at this.
Turning in his grave if he was dead yet.
That's a bit kind of trying to push him in, are you? Two hands behind him. But it's just kind of one of those things where they're going, yeah, Liberty, although some things annoy us, there's definitely some things they're doing a better job with the sport than Bernie and the old guard.
Exactly. And also, serious points we made. The racing was great because the cars were small. So can we just do that with the real racing as well?
But also you're forgetting the fact slower cars generally lead to better racing as well.
True. So make them small and make them like...
make them limited to 40
cylinder.
Miles an hour.
Yeah. And then we'll just race at Monaco every week and it'd be great.
That would be... well, Formula E raced at Monaco and the races were okay over the weekend as well from what I watched. But anyway, moving though into the race... Max Verstappen immediately does Max Verstappen things, doesn't he? Turn two.
Yeah, well, this was actually... I don't know how he got away with this, looking back. I do know why he got away with it, but I don't think he should have got away with
it. He shouldn't have,
Going into turn one, he covers the inside immediately, gets a bit hot on the brakes, locks up into one, forces Norris to the outside of the track, does a little switch back, and then into turn two, he makes it look like an accident, doesn't he? I think that's why. But I think he knew what he was doing here. Getting a bit of oversteer and just elbowing Norris off the track, which dropped Norris down to sixth, didn't it? And yeah, he got away with it. It was one of those where if it wasn't lap one, there's potentially a penalty. But he was out of control. That's the thing.
Exactly. So it should be, shouldn't it? It's what they always say about a driver locking up.
I do think he got away with one there, to be honest.
Yeah.
Maybe it's dad privilege that he doesn't get penalties anymore.
I think it's Lando Norris privilege as well, isn't it? Of, like, Lando just cannot race him. So, the thing is, if Lando didn't allow him to do things like that to him constantly, which again we saw later on in the race, he stands a much better chance.
True.
Because, I mean, that was the moment that lost Lando the race, spoiler alert. Because he would drop down to P6, Antonelli would move all the way up to P2.
To be honest, from Norris's point of view, trying to go around the outside of turn two is never going to work against Max Verstappen. There's just no chance you're getting around there. So he could have just lifted off, tucked into second.
But the
still
thing was, he was
fight.
Completely wheel to wheel with him as well. Like, when obviously Max lost the back end, they bang wheel hubs against each other. Like, he's alongside as you can ever get, which is what the FIA have said warrants room. And still he didn't get the room, and still Max didn't get a penalty. Like, he couldn't... with the rules they've given us, it couldn't have been more clear.
The only thing that puts an asterisk on it is lap one, isn't it? And for some reason, they just don't think lap one things deserve penalties half the time.
Yeah.
So,
Exactly.
Strange one.
Doohan and Lawson would come together a bit further back. It was a racing incident, but it was also completely Lawson's fault, wasn't it? Which is a bit weird.
Lawson has... woke up and chose violence this race weekend, I think. He is, you know, he's not here to make friends. He made that very clear over the winter. And, he's not making any friends, to put it that way.
No, unfortunately, he's probably not making friends in Red Bull's higher-ups.
No, I don't think he's doing many favours to his longevity in the sport. Because, he is just, he's hyper-aggressive, which is fine, but he's not really got the aura to pull it off. So
I think the thing is with Lawson as well is, and I know I think we've briefly mentioned this before, but I would already be looking at trying to do an Alex Albon. Get out of the team, go somewhere else. Because we saw DTM going up directly against Alex Albon as well. He's a very adaptable driver, you know. He's won in basically everything else he's ever been in. I would already be in talks with basically any other team I could about a C.
Yeah, yeah, because he's not beating Hadjar that comfortably. I still think his head's gone when it comes to racing in Red Bull.
Oh, absolutely.
Because of what happened at the start of the year. So, potentially even, like, you know, a year out served Alex Albon really well, didn't it? But if Lawson can get himself into, like, I don't know, an Alpine somehow, if Gasly goes somewhere, or Haas maybe, then I think that would just do him loads of favours.
Yeah, yeah, no, I do think that should be his... even if he, like, yeah, like I said, Alpine at the moment, if they still mess around with drivers and things like that. It's a shame because you kind of think Sauber would be the safe bet, but of course they're not anymore, which is
and they're kind of locked in at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. I mean, it's unlucky, obviously, doing completely out of the Grand Prix from an incident that arguably he couldn't really do anything about. Lawson was able to keep going, but ultimately damage would be too much and he'd retire from the race much, much later on. And of course, that's then meant after the weekend that, well, now Flavio Briatore's got his opportunity, hasn't he, to ditch doing again, which we'd always both said would probably come after Miami. But it's looking like that could be a real possibility now.
Yeah. And to be honest, it's always been coming, hasn't it? And Doohan's not done loads.
He's not done badly, though, either. I think it's the awkward thing.
He hasn't done awfully, no. Yeah, it's a bit awkward because actually his pace has probably been okay. His pace is better than I expected in terms of matching Gasly.
And his ability to bounce back. His ability to bounce back after incidents has actually been pretty good. But the problem is he's constantly having to bounce back.
Yeah, he's had a lot of incidents. And to be honest, a lot of them aren't his fault.
No.
But also, there's a common denominator in there. And if you're going to get yourself in those situations a lot, you know, it's not helping your case, is it? And I do feel for him, because his mental resilience over winter must have been tested so much with these constant noise. Every single tweet that Alpine had put out in the last 6 months has been like, where's Colapinto? Announce Franco, from all the Argentinian Formula One fans. I'm sure he doesn't read it, but he will know.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
There's noise.
Oh, absolutely.
And I do feel for him, but I don't think he was ever going to have a long career in F1. But maybe, you know, he's one of those we maybe get 3 years out of it, a bit of Marcus Ericsson.
Yeah, or Zhou Guanyu, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, the race would very, very quickly, though, kind of start calming down, wouldn't it? And again, like we see so many times in the Grand Effect era, it's kind of just anybody that's qualified at a position... slowly kind of works himself back into position. So Norris would obviously pick off past the Williams and the Mercedes and obviously move back up to P3. Something that was slightly less common but seems to be becoming more and more common is Fernando Alonso. I mean, just bless him. Give it up, buddy, please. For your own sake at this point.
I was surprised there was no contact when you heard that Alonso was spinning.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just lost it on his own. And that Aston Martin must be a dog.
Oh, it absolutely. I'm sure it provided no feel.
But this is a man who's driven a Minardi. I know it was 24 years ago. But
and the worst Formula One car of all time, the 2014 Ferrari, Jamie.
Exactly. It understeered and oversteered together. But yeah, those two Aston Martin drivers, and probably the entire team, are just not letting Adrian Newey out of his shed at the moment. And just to, like, build us a good car for next year.
Yeah,
this
next
one is
year
horrendous.
Has to be a winner. I mean, that has to be the only reason why Alonso's sticking around at the moment. The way Aston Martin have fallen off during this Grand Effect era. Like, we spoke about this pre-show. They were on par with Sauber this weekend. And I'd argue this year have probably been the ninth best car on average.
Yeah, easily.
It's just and somehow honest, Lance Stroll is getting points.
Like, these days, I wouldn't put much difference between the ability of the driver pairings in terms of if you go.
Are you honestly going to sit here and say Hülkenberg is almost as good as Fernando Alonso?
At 42? Absolutely.
No, don't try to. Oh, mate, honestly. Alonso's got more. I don't like Fernando Alonso, but I'm not going to have you sit here and go, Hülkenberg's almost as good. Shocking.
I don't think there's that much discrepancy.
Shocking.
To be honest. Let us know in the comments. Am I just glazing Hülkenberg?
Yes, as always. That is a diabolical statement that you've got. That might be the worst thing you've ever said on this show. Great. Wonderful.
Hulkenberg
fantastic.
Did not spin on his own this weekend, and he's got more points this year in a worse car. So
no, the Haas is not a worse car than the Aston Martin.
We just decided
it was. Oh, Sauber, sorry, isn't it? Yeah. I got Hulk in a Haas still.
Wow. Keep up. That was last year.
Yeah, I know. I feel Hulk as old
that
as
Haas
I
be
want, so.
Eighth in the championship, probably.
Probably. Yeah, you've got to be right up there. I mean, Max and Oscar, though, would have a good little battle. I mean, for me, I think a lot of people were getting quite nervous about this. To me, it just looked like Oscar was basically happy to sit behind him and wait for Max to make an error. Like, he is just a modern-day Alain Prost of doing the bare minimum to win.
To be honest, yeah, I agree with that. And the thing is, Piastri doesn't get rattled.
No, exactly.
By Verstappen's aggressive defence.
Yeah, antics.
Like, Verstappen has basically made it obvious that nobody is ever going down his inside.
Yep.
If they're fighting for a lead.
Yep.
And Piastri knows that, so he's just going to stick it on the outside every time, get further and further alongside or ahead, and just wait for the moment where Verstappen sends it and overcooks it, and then do a switchback, and you're done.
And nail it. Absolutely
nail
it.
Does Lando Norris not know this yet after 2.5 years
because,
of racing it?
But the thing is, well, this is what I was going to say, is like, genuinely, you see by the way Max drives, his psychology around Lando is completely I'm in control. His psychology, he has not figured out Oscar Piastri yet. And as we've mentioned before, I think Max kind of quite likes that challenge. And I think Oscar really likes that challenge. And Lando Norris just does not get it, is the problem.
To be honest, because half of it is a bit of like a mental bullying thing with
Oh,
Max.
Absolutely. No, it is mainly
Genuinely,
that
I don't,
with Lando.
Yeah.
He's got him wrapped around
and
his
I wouldn't
finger.
Say... Yeah, exactly. And Piastri's just not going to play games with it.
No.
So it is just that you can't get in Piastri's head.
No,
because
exactly.
He's so cool. And, like, just doesn't let pressure affect him.
Yeah.
Or it feels like that anyway. I wonder, as we get closer towards a championship fight, maybe you will start to see some cracks.
I genuinely don't think we will. This is why I think Oscar Piastri, sorry, is the real deal within that team right now. And again, how many times am I going to say this? And Lando Norris, if you're watching, read my lips. You cannot be friends with Max Verstappen and try to win this world championship. It just will not work.
You don't need to be
pally
pally, do you?
Exactly.
Like, Piastri is definitely not an enemy of Verstappen, but they're not friendly either.
No,
like,
but that
they
comes
are just
on Oscar's
healthy
terms
rivals.
As well.
Yeah.
It's not even
absolutely.
The thing is for Lando as well, is he worked out well for him for a few years of kind of being pally pally with Max because it would allow him, you know, and like we probably saw a bit later on in the race, Max obviously then didn't put up a defence against Norris because he just knew he couldn't anymore.
Yeah.
But you're kind of there going, that worked for a few years. But was always going to come with this asterisk of if you're in a world championship fight against him, everybody knows one of you is in control there, and it's not Lando Norris. Oscar Piastri has at least left it open that it's 50-50, and again, played Max at his own game. You know, he used Max's
Absolutely.
Aggression against himself fantastically again.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the difference between the McLaren drivers is I'm of the opinion that Norris has slightly better pace if he gets it all together. Still,
but arguably,
Piastri
yeah.
is
a better
Piastri is, much better racecraft, less mistakes in him, and doesn't get rattled in a race in a wheel to wheel fight. So I think that will really come in handy. And I think Piastri is definitely the favorite for the world championship at the moment.
I love
the way
it.
It's going.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And I would love to see Oscar, especially when we had all this hype with Leclerc, Albon, Russell, Norris all coming in. Suddenly, Oscar Piastri is going to win a title before any of them. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
Like we said, though, Max would then, obviously, after Oscar got through, he'd have quite a good battle with Lando.
Yeah, it was a good battle. Piastri's just checking out.
Oh, Oscar's got it. Norris would pass Max off the track, obviously, with a bit of an aggressive move down at the hairpin. I think he could have stayed on the road, to be honest. But I think he was just more about trying to absolutely throw Verstappen out and make sure he was fully behind him.
He was very tight, wasn't he? Because he went in at such a tight angle that there wasn't much chance of him getting it slowed fully.
Let Max back by.
Yeah, had to give it back.
Then tried to go back around the outside of turn one. This was the bit that annoyed me. When he was trying to go around the outside of turn one and kind of got a bit wedged on the curbing, he should not have backed out of that. He should have done exactly what
crash,
Max did to him on lap one. Exactly. But he's got to...
But then Norris has got way more to lose this season.
But the
than
thing
Max
is
has.
As well, you're kind of there going at the moment. Like, that would have probably just been maybe a bit of front wing damage, maybe a little bit of side pod damage. He was still going to come second, most likely, unless he got incredibly unlucky.
Risk.
But the point is, he's probably cost himself more points by not backing out there, Because when Max, if he feels like he's in a better situation later on this year to fight him, like, Norris has got to get in his head and make Max start to question whether Lando's going to stay there or not. That's how you get... That's how Oscar works it with Max, is Max doesn't know what Oscar's going to do.
When your teammate's in the lead, and realistically, the championship's going to be between the two McLaren drivers, there is no point throwing away team points to make a point against someone who's not in the fight. So,
but he is at the moment still.
Yeah. He is, but he won't be. The way the McLaren's going at the moment, I don't think...
We still wait on the those Spanish will keep changes. Up.
Yeah, unless we get front wing nerf and Mercedes OP come Spain, then I personally think Norris made the right call there to not have a crash.
Yeah, I think he's got to... Like I said before, I know he won't, but he's got to play the mind games with him. And ultimately, he just doesn't. And that is, like I said, that's what's costing him a world championship at the moment. There would be a little bit kind of turnaround, wouldn't there? Ollie Bearman, annoyingly, his engine would just go pop. I believe it was exactly the same for Bortoletto as well, not long after. So that would give us a VSC.
Both Ferrari power units.
Both Ferrari power cars. Both probably quicker than Ferrari this weekend on raw pace as well. but that would give us a VSC, which luckily for George Russell would mean he'd instantly jump past Verstappen as well, and over to P3.
Another example of Russell doing nothing and just popping up
exactly
in
appearing in P3.
That's, the third time this season that he's just do nothing P3.
I'm not going to complain about that one though. We would then say, I mean, the best battles all weekend probably was actually Williams versus Ferrari. Which, Jamie, rewind the clocks. Is it 1982 again? I don't know
exactly.
But the fact that we've kind of got this weird thing now where you'd say McLaren are absolutely on top, Red Bull and Mercedes are second and third. Williams and Ferrari now are in this fourth and fifth battle ahead of everybody else, which seems mad to say.
Yeah, and the fact that I think it was on the VSC restart, wasn't it? You had Sainz past Leclerc on the big screen, and then in the little box on the timing tower, you had Albon going past Antonelli, which is like, what on earth? What has James Vowles done to that team?
I love it. He's done a cracking job. I want to see Williams fighting again for world titles.
Why not? 2026, you never know. Exactly. Mercedes OP.
Exactly. And then Ferrari would just do Ferrari things, wouldn't they? It was basically what kept the race entertaining in the last 20 laps.
Yes, because once the McLaren's got into the 1-2, you're like, well, that's that then, isn't it? Ferrari, you can always rely on them to give us a bit of entertainment. And especially if you're not a Ferrari fan, which, you know, I'm very happy to watch them just clown it up in 7th and 8th.
I'm wearing my Ferrari hat right now, I know.
You had Leclerc on hards, Hamilton on pretty new mediums, absolutely tanking it to the back of him and Sainz's battle. Got past Sainz quite easily. Well, they both got past Sainz, actually, didn't they? A nice move at turn one.
Yep.
With Leclerc 7th, Hamilton 8th, and you think Antonelli's, 5 seconds up the road?
He was about 8 or 9 surely at this point,
Surely you just swap the drivers and, you know, let the driver on the better tyre go through.
Yeah, and then Leclerc just tries to stay in DRS and keep up with him.
Yeah, exactly. So it took them 3 laps of a lot of deliberation to tell Leclerc to swap the positions.
Yep.
Eventually they do.
Yep. By that point, Hamilton's tyres Hamilton, are cooked.
Yes, because he's been running in dirty air for ages. But Hamilton didn't take off as much as you would think. But they are closing slowly on Antonelli.
They were going to get to him by the end. They were going to get to him by the end.
It would have been tight, yeah.
And then, of course, as Hamilton is closing it, you know, he's still taking a good 3-4 tenths out of him a lap. Then Ferrari decide to swap them back, so they lose a second. So then neither of them get a chance to get to him. And easily the best bit about that was Hamilton's sass.
Yeah, Hamilton's sass on the radio when they tell him the gap to Sainz. It's like Sainz 1.3 behind, and Hamilton's like, oh, do you want me to let him through as well?
So stupid.
In Melbourne, I remember us talking when Hamilton was like, please stop talking to me. Thank you. That kind of thing. Yeah. All of those niceties of race one and a new job, they're gone.
Yep.
Hamilton knows that he's in a circus. And I think it's really funny. But he should have known this when he signed the contract.
Exactly. I hate it so much.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing that was my favourite part of this, and Anthony Davidson brought it up on Sky, was when they told Leclerc that they were going to swap positions. They were on the radio to Charles Leclerc saying they'll swap into turn 15. They hadn't told Lewis Hamilton, who's the driver ahead, that they're going to swap. So Leclerc's like, what's he doing? He's ignoring team orders. And then one lap later, Hamilton let him through. It's like, well, they didn't tell him.
No, they hadn't told like, Lewis yet.
It's complete mismanagement. How hard can it be?
Exactly. And I mean, I think they could have definitely got at least one of them past Antonelli had they been decisive with it. But let's throw it on the other hand, they're going to finish... Well, they might finish third in the Constructors this year, depending on what happens with Red Bull. But, you know, they're not fighting for the Constructors or anything like that. Like, it's just kind of...
Not yet. This time last year, I don't think it would have been either, but...
No, it's a fair point.
You never know, it's a long season.
Exactly. But, yeah, either way, they completely threw it away. Oscar Piastri, though, 4 wins in 6 races is an absolutely cracking stat. Three
in a row. He's ahead of his teammate for career wins now, which
exactly.
is very funny.
Yep, 3 in a row. First McLaren driver to do that since 1998. Which is insane. He would take the win ahead of Norris, Russell ahead of Verstappen, Albon, Antonelli, Leclerc, Hamilton, Sainz, Tsunoda would be our top 10 because Tsunoda would just hang on. So 5 team scoring points was a little bit of a shame. Hadjar, Ocon, Gasly, Hülkenberg with Alonso and Stroll rounding out your finishing order. It was, by Miami standards, it was all right, wasn't it? It was better than, I'd argue it was, the end of 2022 race was quite crazy, wasn't it? But it was probably, for Miami, the best weekend it's had, mainly based on the weather.
Yeah, the first half of the race, especially when you had Verstappen mixing it up at the front with the McLarens, was good. I think after that VSC, when everyone who hadn't pit did pit, it settled down a lot. And all you really had to watch was these Ferrari antics.
Yeah.
And without that, the gaps were pretty large.
I still can't believe the fact that every race, it feels like Miami still has been mediocre at best, and yet it's never been one from the front row. Like, that would normally be an insane stat.
Yeah, it is true. Who won in 22 from somewhere else?
Max, from like 9th.
But that was 23, wasn't it?
Oh, no. Who won it in 22?
Max did win it, or was it? Yeah,
I assume he started third behind like the Ferraris or something. Let me get my research.
Yeah, potentially. And 24 obviously was Norris from 5th or 6th, wasn't it? With the lucky safety car
last year.
Norris was 9th, was he on the grid?
Oh yeah, Verstappen was 3rd behind both Ferraris.
Ah, there you go. There you go.
Bottas and this was year, 5th behind both Red Bulls and both Ferraris. Man, dearie me.
Yeah, and also shout out to Lewis Hamilton for just weaving on the braking zone because he couldn't be bothered.
Yeah, he just didn't care.
He was just like, he saw Sainz going for a send and was like, nah, you're not doing that.
Dearie me. Only Sainz could...
And it was pretty horrendous move under brakes, but for some reason they didn't investigate it. Probably because they feel sorry for him driving a Ferrari.
Only Sainz could get sacked by Ferrari during Williams and it actually been a good move for him. It's wild, isn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely insane.
It is true, yeah.
Jamie, do you want your quiz?
Go on then.
I'm going to give you, I think, 2 minutes today. Because there are 25 answers to your quiz.
That's a lot of answers.
That's a lot of answers. But I hope you're going to enjoy this one. You have got to give me, since the year 2000, every Formula One driver that has scored a podium at a race in the US. Your time starts now.
Okay, Schumacher, Barrichello, Montero. Let's get that one out of the way. Verstappen, Piastri, Norris, Leclerc, Sainz, Hamilton, Bottas, Vettel,
I'm struggling to keep
Weber,
up. Leclerc, Alonso, Sainz, Hamilton,
Rosberg,
Alonso, Weber, Rosberg. I accidentally got into coding.
other drivers. Massa might have done.
Massa did.
Ricardo.
Ricardo did.
Raikkonen.
Raikkonen did.
Grosjean.
Grosjean did.
I think he did. Kota, come on. Have I got the modern ones? Norris. I said Norris. Perez.
Perez, yep.
Russell.
Russell, obviously won Vegas last year.
Oh yeah, true. I think I've got the modern ones. Maybe I'm missing someone obvious. Montoya, Jacques Villeneuve.
Oh no, I gave you a timer for 2 hours. I've just realised.
Oh, get in. Here we go. David Coulthard, Mika Hakkinen.
Yep.
Fisichella.
You already? Oh yeah, you got that one. You're down to, I believe, four, but I think it's actually three.
Heidfeld, Glock, Trulli.
No.
Probably none of them. Not Kubica. He never raced at the US, I don't think.
He did?
Did he?
Yeah.
I don't think he did.
I know for a fact he would have raced there twice.
Early 2000s podiums. Button.
No. 10, Ralph 8 Schumacher. Seconds, 7 seconds.
No. I'm so close.
And your time is up.
Eddie Irvine.
No. Nope. So, I want to just double check. I think you mentioned him, but I just didn't have time to go through. Did you say Sebastian Vettel?
Yes,
yeah,
I did say Vettel.
The one I don't think you said was Valtteri Bottas.
I did say Bottas.
Did you say
Bottas? Hamilton Bottas,
okay,
when you were counting up signs still.
Yeah, fair enough. You've left two out then.
Okay.
One of them...
Are they old?
They're both old. One of them, I think you'll be disappointed you got. The other one surprised me. I'll let you in.
What is it? It must be before 2007.
Yep. Like, both of them pre-2007. One of them was the first for his country.
Really?
Yep. Oh, no, sorry. No, it wasn't. First for him, even. Ignore me.
What car did he drive?
BAR.
Oh, the Sato.
Sato got a podium.
Really?
Yep.
I didn't know that.
And the other one, who got a podium twice here, which I was shocked to learn, Heidtjard Frentzen got a podium at the very first US
Frentzen.
Grand Prix
Jordan.
In 2000. Yeah, I believe so. 2000? Yeah, he was still in the Jordan. Yeah. 2000
wow.
And I think
there
2003 you got a podium.
Fair play. That must have been some of Jordan's last podiums and wins.
Yeah. He got a podium in a Sauber as well in 2003.
Wow, there you go. No chance of that this year.
After qualifying
50. I'm happy with that. So that was what, 23 out of 25?
Yeah, you did very well. You did very well.
I just threw out a load of drivers and hoped I didn't miss, like, David Coulthard, which I didn't.
You didn't for once, for a change. Yeah, very good job. That was a bit hectic.
Also,
did
Kubica race in the US?
Yes.
How long did.
2000.
I thought they took a break.
2008.
From 07.
Surely.
There wasn't a US Grand Prix in 08, was there?
Oh, no, there wasn't. 19.
Oh, yeah, I forgot he raced in 2018 in the world.
19.
Oh, 19,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, and obviously 2007 he wouldn't have because obviously he had his crash.
He joined late.
2007, no, he'd had his crash, hadn't he, the week
oh,
before.
Oh, no, yeah. So actually, without the COTA in 2019, he actually wouldn't have won.
But did he race in 2006? Or no, it was too early in the year, wasn't it?
No, he joined in Hungary, yeah, it was too early in the year.
Yeah, fair enough. It was the race, US was the race before Hungary, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, and Villeneuve got sacked.
Exactly. There you go then. So, Robert Kubica won US Grand Prix in his time in Formula One. You can either have the pole, or you can either have a US race, one or the other. Can't get to choose.
Yeah.
very, very good job there, sir.
Thank you.
Driver of the day, Jamie183.
It's kind of weird. Everyone finished where they should have finished.
Pretty much, wasn't it? I'm going to say Alex Albon. Had a very good weekend.
Oh, he finished fifth, actually. And he was unlucky to not.
He should have got points
in the sprint.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of want to compensate Kimi Antonelli for something, but he only really did well in that one sprint quali, which doesn't really count for anything.
We had more pace than Russell throughout a lot of the weekend, but again, it was Russell doing
not in the race, though.
Yeah, but it was, again, Russell doing his typical just appear. Because remember as well, Russell also got a huge tyre advantage from that VSC that most others didn't.
Yeah, and Verstappen kept him honest on the hards, but never got close enough, really.
No, exactly.
I'll just say Oscar Piastri, because it's
fair
he
enough.
Won the race.
Fair enough. Race review, what are we giving it? A score?
Race rating. I still haven't compiled the season so far.
Come on,
but
Jamie, you got to get on it.
I know. I'll give it a 6.
I was going to give it a 6.5, mainly because the sprint carried, I think.
True.
So that's fair.
And
the bit I am looking forward to this week, Jamie, we've left it right to the end. Predictions recap, sir. What were the scores coming into this?
Predictions
weekend?
Recap was going so well for me after the sprint race.
Yep, yeah, lucky.
Because I'm on 16, you're on 11 at the moment. So, sprint race winner was the first of our things.
Yep.
You threw out George Russell.
I thought after Antonelli got pole in the sprint, I was like, oh, I bet on the wrong Mercedes here. That's a shame.
Yeah, you packed the wrong horse a little bit. I said Lando Norris, which looked unlikely at one point,
it
but then
a
safety car.
Yeah.
Came in And it got me a nice little plus two for no reason apart from luck.
Apart from Jamie doing Jamie things.
Exactly. So that's plus two for me. We both backed Oscar Piastri for pole position.
Didn't happen.
No points. I don't know why I didn't back Max. I should have done that. You said, and this is very impressive, you said Oscar Piastri would win from Lando Norris and George Russell.
Thank you! That's the first perfect race score of the year, I believe.
It is. And that's a solid plus six.
Saved my weekend completely.
It really did. I said Verstappen would win.
Nil point.
Piastri would finish second.
1 point.
And Norris would finish third.
1 point.
So if Russell didn't get that lucky safety car, I know I got 2 points in the sprint because of a lucky safety car.
Exactly.
But if Russell finishes fourth, as he probably should have done, I'm on three from the race and you're on four from the race. So that's a lot
you
more.
You would have pulled that sadly, 1 point, yeah.
Exactly. It finished
6-4.
Four for me, six for you. So actually, that's not too bad. I can cope with that.
Closing back in.
So I'm up to 20 and you're on 17. Oh. That's actually getting close.
I love the fact you genuinely get nervous about this as well. Despite the fact...
Well, I'm still repping Lance Stroll on Twitter, so...
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. Well, we've done this, what, 3 years now? I don't think we did it in 21, did we? I think we've properly
kept
score.
We did, because we just back and forth between Verstappen
every week.
Hamilton
yeah.
every race.
But I think you won 21, therefore, and I've won every
won
one since.
Yes, exactly.
Wild. Absolutely wild.
Yeah, Jack Doohan's gone. We mentioned that
we did
briefly earlier.
Yep, possibly.
They're using it as an excuse to get rid of him. But, again, do I care? Not.
I'd be
really.
Sad to see him go. I prefer him to Franco Colapinto as a person. So, there is that. Which I'm sure every Argentinian in our fan base is stopped watching right then and there. Jamie, anything else to add, sir?
I don't think so.
No. Wonderful. Thank you all, as always, so much for listening. If you have enjoyed, please do make sure to leave a like. Get yourself subscribed. Jamie and I will return probably late next week, I would assume, for Emilia-Romagna Grand Prix preview.